Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
Star Wars 7x7 episode 3567. All right, we're back to our looks at the Bad Batch episodes that came out last week. This time we're talking about Point of No Return, which is episode 11 from season 3. This is our 7 takeaway breakdown episode. Punch it! Hey Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy, and thank you so much for joining me for it. And thank you too to the patrons who help support me and the production of this podcast on a daily basis with their help at patreon.com/SW7X7. Alright, so we haven't talked about Point of No Return yet. Well, I guess we sort of did at a high level last week, but yeah, now we're going to get into the episode itself in more detail. We're doing our 7 takeaway breakdown on today's episode. We'll start, as we usually do, with the high-level overview, which has to do with a prologue of CX-2, that incredible assassin clone, tracking Fee Genoa to some airless moon for a refueling situation, and he sneaks on board, uses a data spike to get some information, and finds out, hey, this gal goes to this one particular planet kind of often, maybe that's where I'll go to see if I can find the Bad Batch, or Omega. And of course, it turns out that routinely visited planet is Pabu, and yes, CX-2 finds Omega in the Bad Batch, calls in for help. The fine folks at Tantus say, yeah, make sure they can't escape, which leads to the destruction of the Havoc Marauder. Very shocking, of course. And everything goes according to plan, at least for the bad guys, which results in Omega sacrificing herself to save the residents of Pabu, who are being forcibly moved out of their homes, and the Empire is getting ready to torch the homes. They've already destroyed all of the fishing boats that they use to make a living. Yeah, so things are bad, and Omega decides to surrender herself before things get worse. I will say that tends to be a losing proposition with the Empire, because they may just decide to burn everything anyway, but then again, you know, they might not. And it seems like in this case, they won't. They just take Omega away, and that seems to be the end of it as far as the Empire is concerned. But it won't be the end of it for the Bad Batch, of course. Our second takeaway has to do with timing. Timing is everything. It seems like the Bad Batch has decided to take Asajj Ventress's advice, because they are packing up from Pabu, and seemingly permanently, when we see them at the beginning of this episode, right? Like, they are deciding that it's time to run. And unfortunately, that I've got a bad feeling about this moment comes a little bit too late and a little bit too weakly. Hunter kind of perks up a little bit because he senses something is not right, but it's not enough to get him to, you know, spur into action. And unfortunately, that does kind of cost the Bad Batch. I mean, yeah, it's not like you can really fault him. I mean, how the heck is he supposed to know? Certainly he has heightened senses at some level, and even Crosshair says that he's supposed to have an idea of when he's being watched, Crosshair himself thinking that, and Crosshair doesn't pick up on it either. For a third takeaway, when Hunter and Crosshair realize that the only way they're going to be able to get off Pabu is by stealing one of the gunships, Hunter says, I'll do that, you take care of Omega. So this is kind of a big moment in a way. There have been steps escalating in levels of trust over the course of the last few episodes, and now this is kind of one of the biggest emblems of trust, because Hunter saying, hey Crosshair, you take care of Omega, it means that he is absolutely dead certain that Omega is in perfectly safe hands with Crosshair. And I don't know that he necessarily thought that that was the case a couple of episodes ago, but yeah, now he is absolutely assured of it. And I'd say that's the surest sign as any, that the bond between Hunter and Crosshair has been reestablished. So that's actually kind of a wonderful thing in the midst of all the bad things that are happening. For a fourth takeaway, I do kind of want to flag Crosshair's failed shot and, you know, talk about it in terms of, oh yeah, we thought he was getting his mojo back. And granted, that should have been a tough shot for even Crosshair at his full and complete level of health under the circumstances, like being shot at and having to fight off those stormtroopers and being on the run and trying to launch that one last desperate shot. But additionally, I want to contrast it with the CX2 assassin, who is able to shoot without any issue whatsoever, right? The gunship that Hunter gets on, CX2 is able to shoot the pilot of an erratically flying craft and take him out. Now, Crosshair was able to do that also when they were on Teth and the forces were closing in, but it took a lot of shots for him to be able to get it in the right place and kill the pilot in that one gunship. So we're learning that Crosshair has not healed what needs to be healed, and whether it's in his body or it's in his mind, we still don't necessarily know for sure. I think we've been told pretty concretely that it's got to be in his mind, and so maybe sometime over the next couple of episodes he's going to have some sort of reckoning with himself that might help him clear whatever this block is that he's having. For a fifth takeaway, I am hoping beyond hope perhaps that Omega has two comlinks on her and that she has one that she was able to turn in as a decoy once they found it. Wouldn't that be great? But if not, you know, all hope is not necessarily lost. The Bad Batch had been able to narrow the location of the planet down to a sector, so, you know, it doesn't necessarily make their job easy, but it's certainly a lot easier than the haystack of the galaxy. And there are perhaps other ways of getting that information. There are probably other transport situations happening with clones being brought to Tantus, or putting myself in mind of, I think it was chapter 15 of The Mandalorian, how, you know, The Mandalorian and Miggs Mayfeld were able to sneak into that Imperial bunker, or that Imperial Remnants bunker situation, and were able to find the location of Moff Gideon's light cruiser. Like, something like that could also work in The Bad Batch as well, if they get into an Imperial installation that might somehow be connected, some sort of scientific institute that might give them a clue. Whatever the answer is, they're gonna have to find it quick, because we've only got 4 episodes, and that's just step 1 of actually finishing off the series. And the other thing is, you know, possibly gonna have to be something that happens mostly off screen, but for a 6th takeaway, we'll talk about how, yes, Rex and Echo and anybody else who's able to come along will have to come to Pabu and pick up the Bad Batch, but I have a feeling that they're going to be really torn, because they also are dealing with what the Empire did. You know, all the residents are in deep trouble now. Like, they have no way to pursue their livelihood with the damage that the Empire did while they were there. And you have to imagine that, you know, there's some level of debt owed in that regard. So the Bad Batch is going to have to take some time to help clean up and help right things. But it can't take them too long, because they're going to have to get on Omega's trail as soon as possible. But at least they have those 3 clone cadets that they picked up earlier in the season. So maybe that'll make the work go a little bit faster. And for our 7th and final takeaway, just a couple little fun fact things of those clone cadets. Yes, Daniel Logan is back to voice. I think it's Mox. One of those cadets, and also Matt Lanter shows up to do a little bit of voice work as well. Matt Lanter, of course, is the voice of Anakin Skywalker in the Clone Wars, and also in he's in there a little bit in Rebels, of course, when Ahsoka faces Darth Vader too. But that was fun to see his name pop up in the credits as well. So that's what I've got for you on the 7 takeaway breakdown for Point of No Return. It was a pretty action-packed episode, so yeah, breakdown kind of goes quickly that way. And that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. If you enjoy the show, please leave a rating or review. If you haven't done it already, please hit a subscribe button or a like or a join or a follow to tell the algorithms, hey, Star Wars 7x7 is pretty cool. You should show it to other people who are searching for Star Wars podcasts. And then, of course, there's also just telling other people who are interested in Star Wars podcasts, other fans that you know. And finally, if you want to help support an endeavor like this, then you can do that at patreon.com/sw7x7. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode, as always. And may the Force be with you, wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.